Why don't you say namaste?
Namaste.
Namaste.
Turn to your neighbor and say namaste.
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 Okay. Well, sometimes kids are the only ones that make sense. So, a father was reading his Bible. A father was reading Bible stories to his young son. Why I did that is because if I stand here, although you guys can see me very good, I get dark. I move right here, and then people online can see me. So that's why I was moving. So, oh, crazy. Yep. Well, sometimes kids are the only ones that make sense, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes, they are. A father was reading Bible stories to his young son, read, "The man named Lot was told to take your wife and flee out of the city. But the wife looked back, and she was turned to salt." And the stunned son asked, "But Dad, what happened to the flea?" Oh, see. Yeah, probably. And then there was a physician on the way to preschool with her four-year-old daughter when her little girl picked up the stethoscope left on the car seat and began playing with it. And the physician thought, "Be still, my heart. My daughter wants to follow in my footsteps." And then the child spoke into the instrument. "Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please?" Oh, well, right. True story. I am the way of love. I am experiencing oneness with all of life. Can you all say that with me one more time? I am the way of love. I am experiencing oneness with all of life. It's a powerful affirmation. I dare you to say it all week long. As you affirm the I am presence and open your heart and your mind, you can begin to feel the heartbeat of the universe flowing through you. Early one morning, before hospital visiting hours, a man tried to sneak in to see his wife and one-day-old baby. But the nurse in the hallway stopped him, saying, "It's not visiting hours. You can't go in to see her." And the man said, but I am bringing some of the things that she wanted from home." And the nurse took the radio and the magazines from his arm and said that she would give them to her. And the man replied, but ma'am, I am one of the things that she wanted me to bring from home." Right? Well, indeed, people need people. Every creature on earth needs companionship. As we seek to bring harmony and balance to our relationship, we open a channel for the deeper aspects of love to express. You see, love is a universal magnet that draws the electricity of the universe from its invisible storehouse and unites us in oneness with its field of living energy. As we allow love's presence to flow through us, we feel more alive, energetic, enthusiastic. Have you ever noticed that? Am I the only one crazy one that notices that? Right? Love literally brings us life and has the ability to transform everything that we touch. In truth, being the way of love is a cornerstone of Jesus' teachings. When he was asked what was the greatest of all the laws, he replied, "You should love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your being. This is the first and the greatest of commandments." And then there's a second one like it. "You shall love your neighbor as you would love yourself." On these two commandments hang all the law. At the Last Supper, he was preparing to go through the crucifixion, and he said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple and my follower, if you have love for one another. I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another." It's a wonder, isn't it? It's a wonder how modern-day Christianity ever came up with the idea of a mean, angry, punishing God who would require his only son to die for someone else's sins. Right? This idea, this concept about being the way of love was shared by Jesus with such simplicity about the deepest spiritual laws, deepest spiritual law, caused the great theologians and the big brainiac powerful leaders of established modern day religions to miss the mark of Jesus' teachings. And then they went in a completely different direction, creating theologies based in fear. Consequently, the key to the spiritual realization and the experience of true life remains a secret. You know, when I'm asked what Jesus taught, the overwhelming number one answer is love, as those two previous Bible statements would indicate. But when I ask someone what is love, or how Jesus shared the love he had with disciples, there's a silence. And there's a blank look on their face. It's a question that seems to stop people in their tracks. As they grasp for the words, trying to describe something that is virtually indefinable by the logic, and seldom taught in Christian churches. Love can only be felt, and the feelings of love vary from person to person. It's different for me than it is for you. Yet the more we talk about love, and the stronger love grows in our awareness, if we persist in thinking loving thoughts and speaking loving words and seeking to express the way of love, we are sure to bring it into our reality. For you are, I am, the way of love. So what did Jesus teach about love? You know, when you study the Gospels on how Jesus demonstrated love to his disciple, you begin to see his love is reflected in a very unique and unusual way. Much different than the one that might be experienced in today's world. First, we need to realize that when Jesus talked of love, it was not about a physical or romantic type of love, but rather a sense of connection that joined his soul with other souls, which in turn led to the experience of oneness with each other and with God. He also taught about what would keep us from experiencing this sense of love, this sense of oneness. Think about the way He used parables to describe the kingdom of heaven. And what would cause someone to be thrown into the outer darkness? Was God throwing them into outer darkness, or were they throwing themselves in the outer darkness? Think of when he spoke with a man at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus looked beyond the man's constant whining and complaining and simply asked, "Do you want to be made well?" Right? "Then pick up your mat and be on your way. It is according to your faith that you will be made well." The blind man, the woman who touched his garment, the child in Jairus' house, he said one thing: "Your faith is what makes you well." And don't do whatever has brought you to this place. Don't do it no more. Then there's the parables of the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son, sharing the essence of being the way. Jesus did not condemn or judge anyone. Or demand to know what they had done wrong. They were feeling ill and looking bad. He didn't say, "What caused you to get this way?" Right? He said, "Do you want to be made well? Lift up in this moment." There was no grand dissertation on their wickedness or how evil one had stolen their soul away. Jesus was detached to the outcome. He left it completely into their hands and did not hands to make the choice, allowed them to make the choice for health or sickness. He was non-resistant, letting the condemnation of others just pass right by him. Even from the cross, he called out, "Father, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." As he did, he held the highest good for all to manifest. The way of love. Non-judgment, non-resistance, detachment, forgiveness, and holding the highest good for all in mind and heart. And then there was a Sermon on the Mount. Anybody ever hear that thing? The Sermon on the Mount? Okay. Talk about a textbook on JC's teachings, right? It clearly outlines Jesus' belief. Who would ever think to look at his only fully recorded sermon to create a framework on his teachings on being the way of love? Finding the narrow gate into the kingdom. Building a life on a firm foundation. Now the Good Samaritan and the parable of two sons are Jesus' two most well-known stories illustrating the discipline of being the way. Did you know I thought of another story? Who, me? Thought of another story? I thought of a story of a mother who had just completed her college degree. Her teacher was absolutely insistent with the qualities she wished every human being had the capacity to demonstrate. Her last project for the term was called Smile. Right? And the class was asked to go out and smile at three people and document their reaction. The mother was a very friendly person who always smiled and said hello to everyone, thought this would just be a piece of cake. Soon after she received the assignment, she found herself at McDonald's with her husband and her youngest son on a very, very cold winter morning. We haven't had any of those recently, right? And they were standing in line, waiting to be served, when all of a sudden there was this hush and everyone began backing away. Turning to see why they moved, she smelled a horrible, dirty body smell and noticed directly in front of her two poor homeless men. As she looked at the short gentleman standing closest to her, she saw him smiling. His beautiful sky blue eyes were full of God's light, and he said, "Good day," as he counted the coins in his hand. The second man fumbled with his hands as he stood behind his friend, and she realized the second man was mentally challenged, and the blue-eyed gentleman was his salvation. The young mother was moved to tears. When the counter person asked him what they wanted, he said, "Coffee, that's all, miss," which was all they could afford. If they wanted to sit in the restaurant and warm up, they had to buy something. And he just wanted to be warm. That's when she felt it, this urge that was so great, she almost reached out and embraced that little man with the blue eyes. But that's when she noticed all the people in the restaurant were staring at her, judging her actions. And she smiled and then asked the young woman behind the counter to give her two more breakfast meals on a separate tray. When she received them, she walked around the corner to the table the two men had found the seat at and set the tray right on the table in front of them. And then she put her hand on the blue-eyed gentleman's cold hands. He looked with tears into her eyes and barely could manage, "Thank you." And she leaned over and said, "I did not do this for you. God did, working through me to give you hope." As she walked away, she started to cry, and when she sat down with her husband, he smiled and said, "That's why God gave you to me, honey, to give me hope." You see, we are here to be God's expression of love. When we choose to answer that call, we are moved to complete ourselves, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians. In seeking to understand and practice the way of love, we are empowered to open a portal into the kingdom of ever-expanding potential, to experience a peace of abundance and goodness that we all desire. But to practice the way of love, we must first learn how to let go of our judgments, become non-resistant to the negative thoughts and feelings sent our way, to be able to detach ourselves from the outcome of any challenging situation, and to extend forgiveness at every opportunity. It also sets the stage for the next step of being the way, which is described in the first letter of John. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. If you want to truly experience love, you have to set your intention on achieving it, and then move into action. It's only through setting our intention on aligning ourselves with this sacred breath of life flowing through our hearts that we will be empowered to move beyond the illusions and internal conflicts that will surely arise. But you know, sometimes being the way of love is best demonstrated by a young child. When Karen found her second baby was on the way, she did what she could to help her 3-year-old son, Michael, prepare to have a new sibling. This included allowing Michael to sing to his new sister in his mommy's tummy. He was building a bond of love with his little sister. In time, the labor pains came. Soon it was there every 5 minutes and every 3 minutes and every 1 minute, but a serious complication arose. And Karen found herself in hours of labor. After a long struggle, Michael's little sister was born, but in a very serious condition. The pediatrician told the parents, just prepare for the worst. Michael, however, kept begging and begging his parents to let him see his little sister, but the kids are not allowed in intensive care. Week 2 in intensive care, it looked like they're going to have a funeral. And Michael kept nagging about singing to his sister. I want to sing to her. Karen decided to take Michael whether they liked it or not. If he didn't get to see his little sister right then, he may never see her alive. So she dressed him up in oversized scrub suits and marched into the ICU. He looked like a walking laundry basket. Of course, the head nurse recognized that he was a child and howled out, get that kid out of here! No children are allowed. And the mother rose up strong and caring. She glared with steel eyes and looked at the head nurse's face and her lips in firm line. He's not leaving here until he sings to his sister. And then Karen towed Michael to his little sister's bedside, and he gazed at the infant and began to sing in a pure voice of a 3-year-old. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. And instantly, the baby girl seemed to respond. The pulse began to become calm and became steady. His mother's tears in her eyes encouraged him, keep on singing, Michael, keep on singing. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. As Michael sang to his sister, the baby's ragged, stressed breathing became as smooth as a kitten's purr. Keep on singing, sweetheart. Keep on singing. The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. Michael's little sister began to relax as rest and healing rest seemed to sweep over her. Keep on singing, Michael, keep on singing. And tears seemed to conquer that bossy head nurse's face, as tears began to stream down her face. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Please don't take my sunshine away. The next day, the very next day, the little girl was so well enough to go home. Women's Day magazine called it the miracle of her brother's song. We would call it a miracle of being the way of love. I am the way of love. So I let go of my judgments, my attachment, my resistance, and allow the infinite one's love simply to flow through me. I am the way of love. I am expressing oneness with all of life. Can you affirm that with me one more time? I am the way of love. I am experiencing oneness with all of life. I'll invite our prayer chaplains to stand and hold that sacred.